time for the second in our series of big election interviews today. As I said, it's the turn of Mark Durkin, who's with me now. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Are we ready then to have a look through these exciting policies in your manifesto, Mr. Durkin?
Well, yes, I am, if that's what you want to do, yeah.
So the SDLP now supports a border poll. When did that happen?
Well, who wrote a border poll into the Good Friday Agreement? Because the SDLP was the party, was the one party in Northern Ireland who consistently argued for unity by consent. Unity by consent could only come about on the basis of a referendum being able to take place. So that's something that we promoted in all negotiations through the 70s, through the 80s, the 90s, and we made sure that was in the Good Friday Agreement. So it would be no surprise that as the party who all along had said Irish unity could only come about on the basis of a referendum, and a party that's committed to Irish unity, that we would be making it very clear that we would support a border poll. We haven't called for a border poll immediately. Colm Eastwood made it very clear the other day that the first order of business for all of us now is getting the institutions back up and running. We need the agreement restored and working. Yeah. And, of course, we need to meet all of the challenges of Brexit. And it's only in that context of the agreement fully working and the knowns of Brexit being established and a Brexit deal being established, that's the context in which you would then frame a debate around a referendum for unity.
What is confusing me, Mark, is that last June 2016, this is after the Brexit referendum.
Yes.
Your leader, Colm Eastwood, said, I do not think that it's the right time for a border poll.
And he has said that now.
Claire
as
Hannah
well.
Said, I think that knee-jerk calls for a border poll are the last thing that we need.
And there is no difference in what I have just said and what Colm Eastwood said the other day. Let us be very clear.
It's not in your manifesto.
We did not. Sorry, it is not in our manifesto.
Sorry,
we have
it is now the SDLP's position that you support a border poll.
And we have always supported the concept of a border poll. But there's no difference between Colm saying last year, immediately after the Brexit referendum, that now wasn't the right time. We are not saying that now is the right time. We haven't called for a referendum now. We haven't called for a referendum immediately. We haven't called for a referendum immediately after Brexit, as some people have misreported.
So when do you want one?
Well, whenever the Ulster Unionist Party, supported by the DUP and Sinn Féin, actually called for a border poll in late 2002 and said they wanted it to coincide with the Assembly elections in 2003. And that's fact. That happened. We said at that time that, in our view, a border poll should really only take place in circumstances where people knew that the institutions of the agreement were fully working, were fully embedded, and were not going to be threatened or jeopardised by the fact of a referendum or by any possible outcome
to
a referendum.
So when do you want one?
So we're very clear we want that stability.
So do you know when you want one? You don't want one this year, is that fair?
Well, that's fair, just as we said we didn't want one last year.
Because do you want one next year?
Because we have to meet the challenges of Brexit. What Colm Eastwood said the other day was that we could have to look at that after we have the knowns of Brexit. We need to go through Brexit. We don't know how long Brexit is going to take. Brexit might take a lot longer than the sort of 18 months negotiations or the 2 years that people have talked about, because there could well be transition arrangements. We don't know exactly what we're going to get in terms of the quality of special status that we can get for Northern Ireland. What we want to do is make sure that all parties are fully focused on their responsibilities of meeting the challenges of Brexit to get the best possible outcome for Northern Ireland. And the best possible outcome for Northern Ireland is one in which we are fully working on operating the Good Friday Agreement, including Strand 2, which is North-South, because that gives us the best answer to the challenges of Brexit. So let's make sure that the agreement is a full known and a given, and let's make sure that we know where we stand in terms of Brexit, because, of course, when an Irish unity referendum comes, it won't be just a question of United Ireland or United Kingdom. Also on the ballot paper will be full membership of the European Union, and that's something that we have established and secured. We forced the British government into admitting that, and with good work with the Irish government, we have helped to ensure that that's fully reflected in the position of the EU27. But let's concentrate on the first order of business.
Well,
get our institutions up and running and meet the challenges of getting a best outcome that we possibly can to Brexit.
So let's stick with Brexit. Do you accept that Northern Ireland's leaving the EU, no matter what?
Well, there has been a UK vote to leave the EU. That was not the position, that is not the express wish of the people of Northern Ireland. So I want to make sure that for the people of Northern Ireland, all the benefits and accesses and opportunities of European Union membership, including customs union treatment and single market treatment, remain. That's what we want to do.
Do you accept that Northern Ireland is leaving the EU?
No, I accept, as I repeat, I accept that a decision has been made at a UK level. That is not what the people of Northern Ireland wanted. What I want to do is to maximise, and the SDLP want to do, is to maximise the opportunities to
You've
fully
said that,
reflect.
But it's a simple question. What I want to do with all of you in these political interviews is please just give me a yes or no answer and then expand on it, of course. Do you accept Northern Ireland is leaving the EU?
Do you accept that Northern Ireland
so
voted to remain?
You're not going to answer that.
No, do you accept that Northern Ireland voted to remain?
Yes.
Yes, you do accept that Northern Ireland voted remain. Do you also accept that Northern Ireland, people in Northern Ireland overwhelmingly voted for the Good Friday Agreement, which was based on the assumption of common membership of the EU as between the UK and Ireland?
So, Mark, Northern Ireland is leaving the EU. Can you bring yourself to say that?
Sorry, let's be very clear. I recognise that there was a UK vote to leave the EU.
Yes.
That was not the express
wishes of the people
in Northern Ireland.
Last time I looked, Northern Ireland was part of the UK.
It certainly wasn't the express wishes of people in the constituency where I am sitting
but
now.
But it was a UK-wide vote.
It wasn't broken down into different parts of the UK.
And
also the vote for the Good Friday Agreement was an all-Ireland vote, and it was a vote that was passed with a much more overwhelming majority. What we are trying to do is to reconcile the different mandates that people are now quoting in relation to these arrangements. Now, they can be reconciled if we fully develop and implement the Good Friday Agreement in all of its strands. Strand 2 of the Good Friday Agreement has been underimplemented,
underdeveloped. What type of Democrat are you if you cannot bring yourself to say, yes, we accept that Northern Ireland, as part of that UK vote, is leaving the European Union?
Because we are making it very clear, we do not accept, for instance, whenever the UK referendum was taking place, there were lots of people on the Leave side who were saying that leaving the EU didn't necessarily have to mean leaving the customs union. There was lots of people who said leaving the EU did not necessarily mean leaving the single market. Lots of people on the Leave side said we could be part of the European Economic Area even if we were outside the European Union. Now we are being told by the Brexiteers that none of those things can happen. What I want to do is to make sure that whatever happens in the rest of the UK, that Northern Ireland, we retain all of the advantages of membership of the EU that we have enjoyed.
Are you realistic?
And that are integral to the Good Friday Agreement as well. Well, remember,
so you want special status for Northern Ireland?
Yes, we make no bones about that. So we called for that in an assembly vote. We were the first to propose special status for Northern Ireland. We called for that in an assembly vote. Unfortunately, that assembly vote didn't get a majority because not all of Sinn Féin were there. People like Chris Hazard and Alex Maskey missed the vote. So we lost by a majority of one. So Sinn Féin, who keep quoting the vote that they had in the Dáil on special status, forget to mention that when it came to special status in Northern Ireland, first of all, one, they jeered and sneered at the concept and attacked us for it. So we make no apologies. You're going on as though it's a big revelation that we want special status. We do want special status, and how we translate
special
status. What does
special status mean?
I actually think special status would look like fully implementing the Good Friday Agreement in the context of Brexit.
For ordinary members of the public, like myself, how that would affect my life. What does it mean? What does special status actually mean?
Well, what special status actually means is that Northern Ireland... Well, first of all, what special status means, the first principle of it is that Northern Ireland is not simply dragged out of the EU against its wishes whenever EU membership was clearly a known factor and taken as a given
Stop there. Right, stop.
Northern Ireland is different from
Scotland
the rest of the UK.
Scotland would say the same.
Scotland cannot say
is there
the same
any chance of, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So on that first point you make, that we will not be dragged out of the EU against our will, so you feel that special status means that we can exclude ourselves from the result of the UK referendum? You are delusional, Mark.
No, we can use the Good Friday Agreement to make sure that we continue to be treated on a sort of a lean-to basis with the South.
You just said stop ourselves being dragged out of the EU.
As far
That's what
as
you just
as,
said.
Again, so I said that's the first reason for special status.
Yeah.
Is we are different. Yes.
Because well, so I asked you what it looked like, and you said we can stop ourselves being Stephen. Dragged out of the EU. No, we can't.
Sorry, I said the first reason, I said the first principle in why we're seeking special status is people are telling us we have to be taken out of the EU because of a UK vote, because of votes in England and Wales. Okay. And they're also saying that the terms in which we're taken out of the EU right. mean no customs union access, no single market treatment, no membership of the EEA, which wasn't what they were saying during the referendum. So I am not going to have, I'm not going to stand for other people dictating to us what Brexit is going to mean for us in circumstances where we didn't even vote for Brexit, okay? I am not going to be a slave to some
but
sort
the rest
of
the
UK-wide
UK could
interpretation
say
that,
that
other people
Scotland
come up
with. Scotland could say that,
well, no,
they?
Scotland cannot. Scotland can't say that in quite the same way, Stephen, because Scotland's constitutional status is different from Northern Ireland's. Again, this goes back to the Good Friday Agreement. Northern Ireland is unique within the UK. We do have a different constitutional status. So when it comes to a vote on any referendum on Irish unity, it is clear that unlike when there's a referendum in Scotland, Northern Ireland's membership of the EU would be clear. So if
that.
There's a vote for Irish unity, we are automatically members of the EU. We don't have to go through an Article 49 negotiation,
I understand that.
Which the UK will have to go through if it wants to re-enter, or which an independent Scotland would have to go through.
By the way,
so that makes
the majority of people in Scotland voted Remain
too. We're different
too.
In terms of citizenship.
I get that, but the majority of people in Scotland voted to Remain, 62 against 38%. So why can't they have the same theory as yours?
Because they don't have the Good Friday Agreement.
Hold on a minute, but part of your thrust this morning is that the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the EU. That is part of your argument. And you have said this morning that you're defining, part of your definition.
And they're the people we serve democratically.
And you're saying, Mark.
I'm very friendly with people in Scotland, but I don't serve them democratically.
You are saying, Mark, that part of what a special status in Northern Ireland would look like was that we could say we're refusing to be dragged out of the European Union.
Sorry,
that is what you've said.
Sorry, I did not, if you check back, I did not
I'll
say that replay is what special
status.
I did not say that is what special status looked like. I said a starting point, a key principle of this, as a reason why we're
right,
looking.
Okay. So the key principle is that we're refusing
that
to be dragged out of the EU.
The
why can't Scotland say the same?
It's going back to the agreement. Well, first of all, I'm not here to argue for Scotland's position.
You're trying to nullify the result of a UK referendum.
Sorry, I am not. I am trying to make sure that we reflect the clear wishes of the people in Northern Ireland. Remember, whenever we signed up to the Good Friday Agreement and negotiated the Good Friday Agreement, we put a primacy on the wishes of the people of Northern Ireland. We put a clear primacy in that. Do you think I'm just going to ignore that when it comes to an issue like Brexit, particularly if it means that in doing so we're going to subscribe to other people dictating terms which are going to fundamentally
damage
the Good
Friday Agreement? You're not accepting the result of the referendum, Mark, are you? You're not accepting the result.
I
don't think it
result.
Applies to Northern Ireland.
Sorry, I accept the result. Result of the referendum in Northern Ireland. I recognise the result of the referendum elsewhere. What I want to do is fully protect the Good Friday Agreement. Remember,
there was no Northern Ireland referendum.
Remember when I said the result of the referendum in Northern Ireland.
There can't be a result of the referendum in Northern Ireland if there was no referendum in Northern Ireland. This was an exclusive referendum. It was a UK-wide referendum, as you well know.
Well, sorry, there was a result of a referendum in Northern Ireland. Just as you've quoted, there was a result of a referendum in Scotland as well. Just as the results at
the rules were clear.
Whatever the overall result was, bound everybody into it.
The rules were clear, Mark.
Yes, and our job as elected representatives here is to best reflect and serve the wishes of people here, both our constituents and the people of Northern Ireland at large. I also recognise that we still have the enduring result of the referendum on the Good Friday Agreement. What we have to do is say how, in the context of Brexit being engineered at a UK level, can we fully protect the Good Friday Agreement here in Northern Ireland.
And this is important. I'm not trying to be clever. I want to understand this. Hold on.
That makes us different to Scotland or anywhere
else. And does that mean,
Mark? We have every sympathy with Scotland's case.
And
we are in a distinct position.
And is part of the tactic, Mark? I just want to be clear about this because some people may support you in this. Look, the applications for Irish passports are huge at the moment. I hear you, right? So are you saying that part of the tactic around Brexit, as far as the SDLP is concerned, is for Northern Ireland to say we are not being dragged out of the EU against our will? Is that what you're saying?
We do not want to be removed from all of the accesses and benefits and opportunities that EU membership have given us, including all of the cross-border opportunities, all of the single market opportunities within the island of Ireland. We want to continue to optimise those. Now, how can we do that in the context of Brexit? Well, while the Good Friday Agreement didn't envisage Brexit ever happening and always envisaged common membership of the EU, the Good Friday Agreement can still provide answers to us, even in the context of Brexit. And remember, right. The EU27 have said that when it comes to the island of Ireland, they will respect existing bilateral agreements, and also they are up for creative and innovative solutions. Now, if we take an existing bilateral agreement, such as the Good Friday Agreement, we can see there's huge opportunity for creative and innovative and flexible solutions there if we fully develop the Good Friday Agreement, not least the North-South Strand, Strand 2, but not only that aspect.
One of the things that you say in your manifesto, the SDLP has already raised with both governments at Westminster and the Good Friday Agreement Committee the possibility of using loans to Ireland repayments to cover some of the costs Brexit will have for administrations north and south. What on earth are loans to Ireland? What's this?
Loans to Ireland. In 2011, George Osborne put a bill through Parliament which was granting loans of about £3.2 billion to Ireland at that time, in addition to loans that Ireland was getting from the EU and IMF. Under that Act, that principal sum is due to be repaid in 2021 under that Act, interest is currently being paid at between 90 and 100 million a year. So every June and every December, there is interest currently paid, but none of the principal has yet been repaid. What I'm saying is, well, that is money that the Irish government is due to repay to the UK. It is already paying interest. What I'm saying is that what we have proposed to both governments, and we have spoken to both governments about this, is that in the context of the managing the implications of Brexit, we could look at streaming some of that money, earmarking it to support continued cross-border funding to offset any loss of EU money. The loans to Ireland money, the money that the Irish government is currently paying in interest and is due to repay.
So you're saying we shouldn't have to pay it back?
Sorry, this is the Irish government that's paying this money. No, the Irish government would be paying this money. It would be going into what we are proposing as a North-South Structural Fund. A North-South Structural Fund which would help to support, one, it would offset if there is any loss of EU monies after Brexit, although I recognise that Michel Barnier has indicated he sees a possibility of continuing some funding on a cross-border basis into Northern Ireland even after Brexit. But if we are facing some loss of money, we want to make good that loss. And so a North-South Structural Fund would help to support the sort of infrastructure and cross-border funding that was there before, courtesy
of EU support. How much would Northern Ireland get?
And other support. Well, that's what we have to, that's one of the things we would have to negotiate.
What is your negotiating position? How much do you feel, because you're representing Northern Ireland, not the South?
How much of the 3.2 billion would Northern Ireland get? We are proposing an idea here, Stephen.
Yes.
So you're asking me a negotiating position. We have to get the negotiations first.
Proposing it. You've already spoken to both governments.
This is also in your manifesto. Yes.
So in your idea, which you're telling the public, £3.2 billion worth of funding is available here, right?
Yes,
would Northern Ireland get?
Sorry, we are saying that as that's the quantum of money that is due.
How much would Northern Ireland get?
Sorry, you asked me what were the loans to Ireland, so I've told you what were the loans to Ireland.
How much would we get?
Well, who knows how much we would get?
Well, surely you do if you put it into your manifesto.
Well, sorry, we don't, because, Stephen, we would be liars if we said, if we picked a figure out of the air, if we said, oh, we're going to get all of the £3.2 billion, are we going to get all the interest in the meantime? We can't say that. What we are doing
plucked a figure out of the air, how about not plucking a figure out of the air, but before you write something into a manifesto, working it out? Is this going to be another political interview with the SDLP where I ask you about figures and you haven't a notion?
Sorry, hold on. You asked me what loans to Ireland were. You were the person who
I'm asking
you
now of the 3.2 billion of the 3.2 billion that's written into your manifesto.
Yes.
Of EU funding that we could benefit from. How much of
sorry,
that would Northern Ireland get?
Sorry, Stephen, it is not EU funding.
Yes, that the Irish government is due to repay.
That the Irish government is due to repay
to
the UK.
Which you're saying to the public in your manifesto is part of a solution to offset against the challenges of Brexit,
yes.
How much
yes.
would
yes.
we
and what
get?
Have we said about, and what have we said about it? We have said that the money can be used, as far as we're concerned, the money could be used on a north-south basis. So some of the money that will be spent on north-south won't all be within the north.
Okay,
so
but some
instance,
of it will.
Some of that money, so if some of that money ends up being used, for instance, on the Derry-Dublin road, some of it will be in the north, some of it will be in the south.
Right.
Can I say exactly how much that would be by the time the costs of that road are there? Yeah. Or can I say how much will be
some
in the north
would be in the north.
Be in the south? No, I couldn't,
but
Steve.
Some of it would be in the north.
Yes,
so you
exactly.
don't know. Is that fair
exactly.
enough? You don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, some of it would be. If we don't do this, none of it will be. Stephen, if we don't go with this idea, and if the two governments don't sit down to negotiate this idea, and if we don't have an executive in the north trying to negotiate this idea and maximise our best interest for us, because the way we want it is, we want the institutions of the agreement fully up and running. We want the two governments and the executive negotiating this. And we also recognise that the money won't just be spent in the north, but can go on a north-south basis. We also recognise that some of the money would have to go on an east-west basis as well, because the Good Friday Agreement has Strand 3, which includes east-west relations with the island of Britain. EU funding has supported expenditure linking the island of Ireland both to Scotland and to Wales. We would see that as being eligible as part of this of this structural fund arrangement as well. So it's an idea. It's a concept. And interestingly, not everybody in the British government has entirely ruled it out, possibly because they see that in the context of the whole divorce negotiations and the question of a financial settlement, something like this might actually buy a lot of goodwill.
Just before we do move on from Brexit, I promise you, I haven't misinterpreted you. I promise you I'd play what you said earlier about the benefits of us not being dragged out of the EU were your words. Let's have a listen. What does special status actually mean?
Well, what special status actually means
what
is that Northern
like?
Ireland... Well, first of all, what special status means, the first principle of it is that Northern Ireland is not simply dragged out of the EU against its wishes whenever EU membership was clearly a known factor and taken as a given
Agreement. Stop there before
that's
we go on.
That's the first thing.
So I think it's clear that you're saying special status means we're not dragged out of the EU. I do not know how you're going to achieve that, Mark.
Well, first of all, we have made it very clear that we want to remain with all the benefits and membership of the membership of the EU has given us here in the island of Ireland.
We could have some of the benefits, or indeed all of them, but we would still be out of the EU. You're promising people this morning we would still be part of the EU, which we would not.
No,
we would not stop. You would not stop us being dragged out of the EU.
Sorry, the reason why we are getting would want special status is because people are saying you are going to be taken out of the EU against our wishes. That's why, because it is happening against our wishes and against what people have the right to expect from the Good Friday Agreement.
You have said special status would mean it would stop us being dragged out.
No, we have the right. That's what gives us the right to seek special status.
Okay.
And gives us that basis for special status. But remember then, what would special status mean? It means fully working and implementing the Good Friday Agreement so that different sectors in Ireland can be treated on the basis that their sector is in an island market. That's the way we avoid borderism in Ireland creeping into parts of the economy that can do without it.
There are loads of different issues to talk about. Let's talk to talk about one of the central issues in politics, whether an executive can be formed at Stormont. Now, should Arlene Foster, is it still the SDLP's position that Arlene Foster should have to step aside as First Minister while the RHI inquiry is running? If an executive is formed, the RHI inquiry may very well run right throughout 2018.
There is a clear difficulty given the timescale for the RHA inquiry, unfortunately the way in which it ended up being set up by Martin O'Meara after Sinn Féin had set their face against any such inquiry. Then the inquiry was set up in a way that made it a very long-running affair and without any possibilities of interim reports or anything else, which went completely against the grain of what both Sinn Féin and the DUP had been saying that they would want from any review, that there would be a short-term early report element. So there is a real difficulty there. The fact is, the SDLP were very clear in the motion that Colm Eastwood would put down in December. We had the clear support of a number of other parties. Unfortunately,
that motion was to exclude Arlene Foster from office for 6 months.
That was to call for her to step aside for 6 months. If the other reports came forward within that time, then that would be great and grand. So if a report or result could be achieved in less than that, that wasn't going to be a problem. The fact is, Sinn Féin said no to that because they said that was unrealistic or wrong. They were in their own.
Is there any chance of talking about your own party rather than Sinn Féin? You must have things to say about your own party. So yeah, that motion.
Well, sorry, but listen, this is my own party's motion. This is our.
Yes,
this
it
was
is.
Our position.
And your own
and
party's
also
motion
by
said.
Other parties.
Your own party's motion, Mark, said
yes.
that Arlene Foster had broken the ministerial code of
yes.
conduct. Where's
yes.
your evidence for that?
That's what was said, and that was reflected in the debate, and not just
where's
by
your
ourselves.
Evidence?
The evidence was reflected in the debate that was our
where
that was
is
our
your
view.
Evidence?
Sorry,
quote
that was
one,
our view.
Quote me one iota of evidence that Arlene Foster has broken the ministerial code.
Well, it was evidence enough to be believed by the other parties.
I'm
that
not talking
supported
about other parties.
Motion,
I'm talking about
the
you and your party. It was
well,
your motion, as you said, and
yes,
you're saying, and your motion is that she had broken the ministerial code of conduct. Now, again, if you and your party
yes,
are upstanding Democrats in this society, you're not going to start attacking other politicians without evidence, are you? Where is the evidence that she's done that?
Well,
what is it?
The evidence was there in terms of the fact that not all information in relation to the RHA scheme was brought forward either to committee or to others.
You're not quoting evidence to me. Specific evidence that Arlene Foster has broken the ministerial code. Quote one iota of it that you
sorry,
have.
We were saying that this should go to a public inquiry. We weren't saying...
No, your motion was that she had broken the ministerial code of conduct. Do you have any evidence whatsoever?
Yes, we had the
quote
evidence...
We
had evidence to support our view that a motion of that character was warranted. Not only did we have evidence, not only did we think there was sufficient evidence to that effect, so too did
read
other
out that
parties.
Evidence, please.
Unfortunately, on that day, Sinn Féin did not support
no,
that
motion. Here you go again. I'm not asking for other political parties. What is the SDLP's evidence
that
Arlene Foster has broken the ministerial code?
We'll see what happens at the public inquiry.
You'll see what happens.
We will see in terms of what goes through the public. We will see what goes through in terms of the public inquiry. Let's be very clear about the terms and the context of that motion. You asked me, was our position still the same? Our position,
no.
That was our position. Sorry.
So what I'm asking you now, I'm being specific, because Arlene Foster has been a politician in this country for many years. She is due the respect and the courtesy that if you're going to make and your party is going to make a serious charge against her, she's due the courtesy of someone like me demanding
and
from someone like you the evidence.
That was debated in the Assembly.
I'll ask you if it's debated.
Can you
give me the evidence that Marlene Foster has broken the ministerial code?
Sorry.
Any evidence whatsoever?
Sorry, Stephen, that is a matter that is now going to be dealt with by a public inquiry. Okay? That's going to be dealt with by a public inquiry.
At this moment in time, have you any evidence?
We have to respect the evidential process that is going to attach to that and all of the rest.
At this moment in time, have you any evidence whatsoever that Arlene Foster has broken the ministerial code?
Sorry. Let's be very clear about the terms of that motion and the context of that motion and what it was trying to bring about. And it was trying to bring about an act of accountability by Arlene Foster, recognising that she had presided over a complete debacle in public expenditure and public policy terms and hadn't given any answers and in fact had given inconsistent answers. Answers that were inaccurate as well. So if somebody doesn't do full disclosure to the Assembly and doesn't
full
then,
disclosure from you here
and doesn't then come back and do full disclosure to the Assembly whenever they know, then you're actually in breach of ministerial code and things like that.